Simin Shin Samach Gimel Seif Tezayin. In the Dir Shulmish from Rus is on page Reish Chof Aleph, two lines from the bottom. Sif Tezayin. We are continuing our discussion about the laws of a Koira. So Tezayin Korzo Shamanu Tzricha Shi'ur. Everything we learn about a Koira is in contrast. Everything about a Koira is, we have to always compare the Koira to the Lechi. The Yisodos of the Lechi is Mishum Chitza, Koira is Mishum Heker, and each one has its own set of rules. So here we have the Koira, Zo Shomarnu, Tzricha Shi'ur. All like the Lechi that has no minimum Shi'ur, can be its, the thickness can be a Mashu. The Koira must have a minimum width. What is minimum width? Therefore, Im Asa Me'atze Asher Psula, we'll see the minimum width in a moment, it has to be at least a Tefach wide. Therefore, if the Koira was taken from a piece of wood that was worshipped as an idol, it is not a kosher Koira. Because, so we said many times, anything that requires a minimum shiur, if it comes from Avodah Zarah, is missing the shiur. Because we look at the future, an object that has been worshipped has to be destroyed, has to be pulverized, has to be transformed into dust. And once it's dust, it no longer has the minimum shiur of a tefach. Psula, the cave in the Lestrefa Kaima, Katutse, Michtas, Shiura, it's as if the Shir does not exist. Okay, let's go further. Shir HaKor, what is the Shir of the Koira? Ruchavuk Tefach, it must be at least one Tefach wide. The Avya Kol Shu, the thickness can be the thinnest sliver. One Tefach wide and a very, very thin amount. Why? Rock, although it can be very thin, it has to be strong. There's another shear that the Shulchan Aruch requires for the Koira. It has to be strong. How strong? Rock, shedehe chazak kedei lekabel oriach sheichatzi leveina shel shloisha tvachem. It has to be able to support the weight of a brick that is half the size of a leveina. Leveina is a brick that's 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim. When you take the levena and you cut it in half, you're left with 3 by 1.5. Now that means it has to be pretty strong bricks. We know, I mean, I don't know how what it was in ancient times, how what the bricks felt like, but you all pass by, you all know that a brick today, it's heavy. A brick is that weighs a lot. A brick that is 1.5 tefachim must be able to rest upon this koira. And we'll see in one moment that the koira is only 1 tefach wide. The brick is 1.5, which means you're allowed to have a little bit overlap of a quarter of a tefach on one side, a quarter of a tefach on the other side, together with the width of 1 tefach, for a total of 1.5, as long as the car can support the weight of that brick, even if it's very, very thin, it's made of a material, a very strong material, some plastic or some metal, it is okay. But don't be misled and think it only needs to support one brick. It has to support bricks along the entire span, the entire length of the koira from wall to wall. So if you have a koira that is, you have a mub that's the maximum size of 10 amos, and you have a koira which goes from wall to wall, this koira must be able to support bricks going along just about the entire length of the koira, which is pretty strong, you can imagine. That's a pretty strong Koira. That is the requirement. Let's see over here the halacha. Let's show the explains in more detail. One more time. Rechav Adil Avir Kol Shu V'Rach Shu D'Chazok Adil L'Kab L'Rich Shu K'Chatz L'Veinu Shul Shosh Tvachim V'Mhi Rechav Arba Tvachim. If it, now there is a leniency. If the Koira is very wide, it's 4 tefachim wide, then we no longer require it to be strong enough to support the weight of a brick. V'Mhi Rechav Arba Tvachim Ein Etzrich Elios Chazok L'Kab L'Rich. Let's see some Mishnah Berurah here. Let's start with Nun Ches. It has to be wide. Nun Ches starts on the Nun Ches. Where is Nun Ches? I can't find it. Mishnah Berurah.
Rochbo Tefach.
Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin. Right. Yud Zayin. Rochbo Tefach. V'yav shetzricha shir lekabel ariach shurach of tefach mechza yuchal. The Mishnah is asking the obvious question: if the width of the koira is 1 tefach, how can it support a brick which is 1.5 tefach? The answer is no big deal; it just overlaps. We don't require the brick to be flush with the koira itself. Af shetzricha shir lekabel awi alech awiach shurach of tefach mechza yucha lechaber kirivia tefach menu betit. You can support the brick by putting a little cement on the quarter of the tefach which overlaps on each side. Bekabel awi tefach menu mikan. Next mishnah bura lekabel awiach vertzolaymer arichayim shakol echad mehem has to be mekabel multiple bricks. Don't be misled by the words of the mechaber that only needs to mekabel one brick. It has to be able to mekabel support bricks that are along the entire length of this korah. Shakol lechad mehem achzekas berko shloisha tefachim ruach bo tefach umechsa shechvim olecha b'chol oraka along the entire length kashir roichav pesach osamavi. So, and then he goes on to describe, not go in detail, he doesn't have to be exactly all the way to the end to end, it can be a little bit less because we can say lovud, but basically the korah has to be strong enough to support bricks that run along the entire length of this korah. Okay, now let's go to Seif Yud Ches. Mamidim, let's say we have pegs. In other words, let's say the korah is not resting on top of the wall. The korah is resting upon pegs. You can see this in picture 50, something that's similar to 50. On the left side, where it says, Shulchanach Seif Yud Ches 50, Kazeh, you see here the korah is not resting directly upon the wall. The korah is a drop too short for the wall, so you improvised. And how did you improvise? You took two pieces of wood, and you put one piece of wood here, one piece of wood there, and I guess you nailed it in, and somehow the korah is able to stand on that surface. Is that kosher? Yes, it's kosher. Everything is kosher. Ma'amidim, that means pegs. Tahainu imochin nismeches al yisedos hayetzim nakoisel, shein brachum tefach. Now these pegs, the picture is not so clear. These pegs are less than one tefach wide. Now the reason why that is important is because if these pegs, as you see, which really they look like they're one tefach wide, if they are one tefach wide, of course it's kosher. It's no worse than the korah itself. The shear of the korah is a tefach. If the pegs are one tefach wide and we have a board resting on top of it, that's one continuous korah. That's no big deal. The reason why there is a problem in this situation is because the peg itself is less than the minimum shear of one tefach. It's only a half a tefach. So the peg cannot count as the korah itself. So that's what the mechaber is. Mamidim the pegs. The high room here in the smechas al yisedos hayotzim nakoisel shein berachman tefach, and the peg itself is less than one tefach wide. V'loy be'orkon shalosh, and the peg is less. There's a condition. The peg is less than three tefachim long, because once the peg is more than three tefachim long, we no longer have lavud, and no longer can we consider the beam, the korah, going from wall to wall. Yesh oim samsei shoyimim shetzar sheyu chazakim lekabla. The pegs must be strong enough to support the weight of the beam, that's obvious. Ulekabel also chatzi levena, the bricks as well. The yeisham, some say, she'ein tzach shechazakim elek de lekabelo, to accept the beam itself, bilvad. In other words, here's the situation. We have over here a beam. The beam is very, very strong. The beam itself can support the weight of bricks running along the entire length. Okay, it's a very strong piece of material. It's a thick beam. The beam itself can hold the weight. Let's say the bricks are 10 pounds, for argument's sake. We have a beam. You put the beam across two walls, and you put 10 bricks. You put bricks, and it's 10 pounds. No problem. The brick's going to stand. However, in this situation, the beam is not resting directly upon the wall. The beam is resting upon pegs. Now, the pegs come with instructions from the manufacturer that the pegs can support 10 pounds. 10 pounds. That's what the... Like, you know, you have pegs in the bookcases? So I'm sure you've all gone into in your home or in a house. These bookcases you buy in Staples are not meant for a Vilna Shas. If you put a Vilna Shas on the bookcase you buy in Staples, bang, the shelf will sag and will collapse, and the pegs will not keep the shelf in place. You have to buy special bookcases that are meant to support the weight of these massive, heavy... They don't even make the shas and tell you they don't make it so big anymore. But, you know, you need strong bookcase. So here you have a situation where you have a korah. The korah is strong. The shelf is very, very strong. It can support 100 pounds. But the korah does not reach wall to wall. So you have no choice but to improvise. How do you improvise? You have pegs. The pegs come out, and upon the pegs you will put the korah. Wonderful. Everything is fine because the korah the kor, even though the kor is not resting upon the walls, being that the kor is within three tefachim from the walls, that's also good. Problem is, there's a rule that the kor has to be strong enough to support the weight of bricks running along the entire length. So the board itself is strong; it can support 10 pounds of bricks. But the pegs that are being inserted into the two walls that are being used to support the beam can only hold 10 pounds. The beam itself is 10 pounds. If you're going to put the beam on the pegs and put on top of that the 10 bricks, it's a weight of 20 pounds, and the pegs will collapse. So here's the question. When Chazal said that the Korah has to be strong to support the weight of bricks, which in our example equal 10 pounds, does that mean the beam itself has to be strong, but we don't need the supports for the beam to be also be able to support the combined weight of the beam and the bricks? Or no, when Chazal required the beam to support the weight of bricks, which equal in our example 10 pounds, that also includes that the support for the beam must be able to hold that combined weight of the beam and the bricks. Being that the pegs that are supporting the beam can only support the beam but cannot support the combined weight of the beams and the bricks, it's no good. So the Mechaber...
Why isn't it different than the flagstones or whatever they are under, let's say, in exhibit... 51.
Okay, 51.
Yeah. So you also have to say it has to hold 20 pounds? I mean, the car, which weighs 10 pounds, and
the wall. The wall definitely has to hold both. That's a given.
The wall
itself has to be able to support
so that's a shallow.
That's a given.
Any different?
Right, that's the question. Chazal required that the beam, all Chazal said the beam has to be strong enough to support the weight of a brick, which means the bricks along the entire length
plus
of the beam.
The car itself.
Well, the wall, of course, the wall itself has to be able to support the beam, plus that's a given, right? The wall must be able to support the beam and the bricks that rest upon the beam. That's a given.
So now the question is, substituting for the wall.
Right. Well, we have the walls. We have walls, and we have a beam. The walls are very strong, and the beam is
so
very, very strong.
Say it should be any different?
Why should it be different? Because maybe when Chazal required that the beam should support, it's just a din in the beam. The beam has to be noticeable. The beam is not a mechitza. It's just something which serves as a heker. People should take notice. You're not allowed to carry further than this boundary. So the beam is there. And the beam is supported by pegs, so it's there. The beam is a strong, solid beam, and it's secure with the pegs. That should be good enough. Or maybe no. When Chazal said the beam has to be strong enough to support the weight of the bricks, it means that that practically speaking, that if you were to put bricks upon this beam, it would not collapse. In this instance, since the beam is not resting directly upon the wall, the beam is resting on pegs, and the pegs can only support the weight of the beam. The pegs cannot support the weight of the beam plus the bricks. That's not sufficient. It's no good. That is the dilemma. That are the two sides of the issue in the Mechaber, and the Mechaber just presents two different opinions and leaves it with that. Now we go to Seif Yotes. That's picture number 51, where the beam is round. It's a log. So the log is not going to be able to practically support a brick. If you put a brick on the log, it's going to tip off and fall off. Is this kosher? The answer is yes. It doesn't need to practically support the brick. It just means it should be thick enough that if you were to carve out the area that's round, you make square out the rounded part of the beam, it would be able to support brick. That is sufficient. So we had this in the beginning of this Shulchan Aruch. It has to be a circumference of 3 tefachim, because anything that has a circumference of 3 automatically has a diameter of 1. That is the ratio. It's approximately 3 to 1, and that's we round it off. Because if a circumference of 3, automatically means that we have a diameter of 1, and if we have a diameter of 1, that is the minimum size for the korah. Next, chaf, sif chaf. Let's say the korah was bent. The ak mi musa notol chutz lamavoy. It moves outside of the mavoi. Now, what does it mean outside the mavoi? So the mechaber explains, O lamala me ashim above 20, O lamata me asar. So here the mechaber incidentally taught us a new halacha, which he will repeat further on in this siman, and that is, the korah may not be put above 20 amos. And this all comes from Chanukah. Everyone knows how Chanukah. On Chanukah, you may not put your menorah higher than 20 amos. It's just like the korah. The korah serves as a heker. When you walk in the mavoi, you see the korah, you are reminded. You may not go travel, carry more than the boundary of the korah. But that's only if you can see the korah. Once the korah, if the korah is above the height of 20 amos, you no longer can see the korah. Schach is the same thing. Schach may not be above 20 amos. The Gemara gives a number of reasons. And one reason, because a person does not realize that he's sitting in a sukkah. Being that the schach is so high, it's so tall, you don't recognize that there's schach. That's one reason. There's another reason, the main reason, because it no longer provides shade. You're not getting shade from the schach, getting shade from the walls. But the Gemara in Sakta Sukkah, everyone learns that Gemara some more. In the time of the Gemara compares the laws of Sukkah, the schach, to the laws of a Korah. The Korah may not be above 20 amos. There's another halacha. The Korah may not be lower than 10 tzvachim. The Korah is lower than 10 tzvachim, that's not called the Korah. So here we have a Korah, and the Korah is either dipping above 20, is dipping below 10 tzvachim, or is rising above 20 amos. Is it a kosher korah? As you see here in these pictures, let's look at picture number 54 and picture 53. In picture 53, we're dealing with the korah dips below 10 tfachim. In picture 54, the korah is rising above 20 amos. So the rule is, what we do is we basically discount the section of the korah that has dipped below or has been raised above the correct location, and we make believe it no longer exists. We then look at the two ends. If the gap between the part that's still within range, the two tips are within three tzvachim, we say lavud. If it's more than three tzvachim, we don't say lavud, and it's not a kosher korah. It's simple as that. One more time inside. Let's read the mechaber inside one more time. The korah was bent. The ak mi musa. The bent portion of the korah is noto chutz l'mavoi. It extends outside the kosher range. What is called the kosher range for mavoi? The mechaber explains: O l'malam yashim, above 20 amos; O l'mata miyasar, or below 10 tefachim. So roim, so we view kol she'ilu yinatal ha'ak mimus. If we would remove the bent portion of the korah, the ein bein ze lozesh shelosha, and the gap between one end to the other end will be less than 3 tefachim. Kishera. But if the gap between one end and the next end is more than mitvachim, then it is psula. Chaf aleph. Let's say the korah does not reach the end. It's short. Does not reach the end. But we have a support. In other words, let me give you an example. Here we have the two walls. So right here I have the two walls. And let's say here is my korah. And my korah starts out on this wall. Here's my pencil, the korah. It starts at resting on this wall, but doesn't make it to the other wall. Just doesn't make it. Doesn't make it. How do I support it? Either I nail it in really tight over here, and that's the way, or I take a beam and I support it over here. It's kosher. As long as the gap between the end of the korah is less than 3 tefachim from the other wall. As long as we have less than 3 tefachim, we are in business.
One solid piece,
you, no, it does not. It can be many pieces, but it has to be strong. It can be many pieces, but as long as the material itself is strong enough that you can lay out a section of bricks along the entire span and the beam will not crumble and collapse.
So the example you just gave, where you're short, you can take another piece of wood. And
yes, well, you can. You can nail it together, absolutely. But in this situation, he didn't do that. In this situation, he had two walls. He took his korah, and let's say and it went like this, and he nailed it in nice and tight. Put a real good bolt into the beam, and it's not going anywhere. Unless it's strong, it's strong. You can put bricks; it's not going to collapse. Or you didn't nail anything over here. You just put another support beam over here to hold it up. It's kosher. Why is it kosher? All the conditions have been met. The core is going from wall to wall, and it's strong enough to be makabel to support the weight of bricks. And there's less than 3 tefachim from the end of the beam until the next wall, so we apply the principle of lavud.
Extension of the wall, doesn't it?
Correct. It's considered to be the extension of the wall. And for that matter, we're going to learn, let's say you have two beams. Right? I have another pencil, one other pencil. You have two beams, right? A beam going over here, a beam going over here. They meet in the center, and you have support beams to keep them up, shouldn't collapse. As long as there's less than 3 tefachim from one to the other, it's okay. And as long as they're strong enough to support the weight of a brick, it's kosher. And of course, as long as it's one tefach, why? If it's 4 tefachim wide, you don't need the beam to be strong enough to support the weight of a brick. That's a leniency that we learned above. Let's go through this again. Se'if chaf aleph, For example, al amudim, you support the edge that comes to an end prematurely, is supported by a beam. Two beams, and they meet each other. Boems in the center, and you have a beam to boems hamavi and the beam to support it. So the rule is, as long as the gap between one beam and the next, or between the beam and the wall, is less than three tefachim, it's kosher because of the principle of lavad. Yesh beem shloish, we have more than three tefachim, then it is psula. Chaf beis. Heliach shtei koros. Now we start a new. So you just look at the picture on the next page. Okay, let's look at the picture on the next page. 64. On 64, we're dealing with a situation where the kora is less than the shiur. Okay, there's a lot of lumness. This is not so practical, these halachas, but there's a lot of lumness in these halachas. I'll try to go quickly. We learned that the minimum shiur of a beam is one tefach. Let's say we don't have that minimum shiur. The kora is a quarter of a tefach. No good. It's not a kosher kora. But what we do is we have two koros, and the gap between one and the other will be a tefach, or as long as it's less than three tefachim. So we'll say love. And if you have a little teeny pole, the pole is the size of a finger, and we have another pole, and the gap between pole one and pole two is less than three tefachim, we apply lavud. That means from end to end, we have a solid, it's a virtual solid piece of material, which will serve as our kora. And it's strong. This material, the two poles that we're using to create our virtual tefach, is strong. If you would put a brick from end to end, the bricks would be supported. The kora would not collapse. Kosher. Not only is it kosher, a big lechidish, even if the beams, the two partial beams are not parallel. They're not on the same horizontal plane. One is higher than the other. So you have a little thin broomstick here, and you have another broomstick here, and the gap between them, as long as the gap both in horizontal distance and vertical distance is less than three tefachim, and if we would put the two together, at least horizontally, it would be strong enough to support the weight of the bricks. It's kosher. This is called royin. Royin means we look at it as if it is has been dropped lower, or we look at it as if it has been elevated higher. It's called royin. We have many different lomish principles. We have lavud. We had before the sugya of good asek and good achis. Good asek, you have a wall. You have a real wall. Good asek, the wall continues to go all the way up. We had good achis, the wall goes down. Love it less than three. Now we're using a principle called royin. Royin is, we have two poles, they are within three tefachim of each other, both vertically and horizontally, we consider them to be together, as long as they can support the weight of a brick. Okay, let's see the halacha inside. Chaf beis. We have two beams right next to each other. Each one is not strong enough to support a brick. If between the two of them, they are the distance of less of a tefach, and it's strong enough to be mekabel tefach. In other words, there's at least a gap. The gap between them is at least a tefach. So together, when we go from end to end, we have one tefach, and the ein bein zo lezo shlosha tefachim. So it's at least a tefach from one to the other, and it's not more than three tefachim, and it's strong enough to support the weight of a brick if it would be rested upon it from end to end. Einoit sarach lohavi koira acheres v'imlav. But if we don't have these conditions, if the gap between the two beams is more than three tefachim, or it's less than one tefach, or it's not strong enough to support a brick, sarach lohavi koira acheres. Period. V'yesham, some say should sarach shiyu koira zo lezo besof tefach. Some say that a machmir, that it has to be within a tefach. In other words, the beams themselves must take up some thickness, so that the gap between them is less than a tefach. less than a tefach, but from end to end, it's at least a tefach. Because everyone agrees that the minimum shiur for the width of a koira is one tefach. So if we have two little broomsticks, and each broomstick is less than a tefach, as long as the gap between them is less than a tefach, but the thickness of the broomsticks itself takes up space, so from one end to the other end, it will at least be a tefach. We are in business. Okay, Chav Gimel. Hoysa achas lamal of yachas lamat. These two broomsticks are not parallel. One is above and one is different planes. One is a higher, one is lower. Royim. Okay, this is the principle called royim. It's a magic term. A magic term taught in Masechta Erevin. Royim. We look im ho elyoyna ki ilu hilamata. If we would make believe that the upper one would be lowered, equal a horizontal plane to the lower one, lamata, or the esadachtoyna ki ilu lamata, or we would say that the lower one is elevated lamala, it's kosher. Uvilvad shelo tehei ho elyoyna lamala mi eshem veloy tachtoyna lamata mi asara. The only time we say royim is only where you're not violating the rule of going above or below the kosher range. The kosher range for the korah, which we've said many times, is not higher than 20 amos and not lower than 10 tzvachim. For lo ye b'neim, another condition, in vertical distance, there may not be more of a gap than 3 tzvachim. For lo ye b'neim, shloisha tzvachim, there may not be 3 tzvachim, lo ye b'goyva, lo ye b'meshach. Not in height and not in meshach. That's the repetition we said in the previous si'if. In meshach means in a horizontal distance. There may not be a gap of more than 3 tzvachim. Kisharoyin oisam sheyarda zo. When we look at it, as if the upper one came down, the also zo and the other one came up. Bikavana ad she yeosu zo b'tzad zo, exactly until the one opposite the other, it's kosher. However, the Mechaber says, not everyone is so excited about this. The Yesh Poislim. There are those that disagree, do not agree to the principle of Roy. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah, Ayin Zayin. Ayin Zayin Bekavana. Roy Tzalem Mechuvenes, exactly. They have to be that if we would lift the lower, or we would lower the upper, and they would be exactly parallel to each other. We have to be careful that not more than 3 tvachim in distance. Now here's an important Mishnah Berurah. The Yesh Poishim, why are there those that disagree with this principle? Okay, so he's asking a very nice question. When it comes to the laws of sukkah, if you have bamboo schach, and your bamboo schach is not parallel. Okay, today everyone has mats. It's a relic of the past, the bamboo. People still have bamboo? Yeah, bamboo. Okay, I also have it in the garage. We gave it away. Now we got a mat. Okay. But in olden days, think back, you know. Anyway, Flintstones used to go, and cars used to go. So you have schach, bamboo schach. You have a pole here. Yeshiva shesuk. And the next pole is here. And the next pole is here. Next one was here and here. It's not level. Is that kosher sukkah? With the bamboo, it's not called schach. Schach has to be flat. It's kosher. Everyone agrees it's kosher, provided that the bamboo does not, the distance between one bamboo and the next is not more than 3 tvach. So along comes the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, what in the world is going on? When it comes to the world of sukkah, you have schach. That's not flat, that's not level, the bamboo is jumping up and down. Everyone agrees it's a kosher sukkah, provided, of course, that the bamboo, it's not more, the distance is not more than 3 tefachim. Because of the principle of royin, we make believe the lower is elevated, and the elevated is below it. That's royin. So why here does the mechaber, when we discuss the law of a korah, we're trying to create a lamda shakara. You don't have a beam that's one tefach wide. Okay, you only have broomsticks, so you want to put two broomsticks together, two thin bamboo poles, to make your koyer. You're putting them across the beam. One beam is a little bit higher than the other. Okay, the first opinion says roin, it works. The second, the yesh poislim. Why is the law of mavoi chomor more chomor than the law of schach? With regard to schach, everyone agrees to roin. With regard to the korah, the lom shakorah, there are two opinions. The second opinion, the mechaber says the yesh poislim. The Mishnah Berurah answers because by a korah there's another rule. The koirah has to be strong enough, lekabel or riach, to support the weight of a brick. By a sukkah, the bamboo mats do not have to support the weight of bricks. If you put a brick on your bamboo mat, it would come crashing into the sukkah, more likely than not. But when it comes to the laws of a koirah, that was one of the first rules that we required in this siman, in this section of the siman, that the koirah must support the weight. So okay, firstly, okay, lum support. If we would take the two beams and we line them up and we put a brick from end to end, it would work. Okay, it's good enough. But the second opinion says no. The requirement that it should support the weight of a brick is a practical requirement. And being that now the two ends of this beam are on different levels and they cannot at this moment support the weight of a brick, it's no good. It's not sufficient and it's not a kosher. Let's read it inside. It's a very nice piece of Mishnah Berurah. Ayin, one more time, Ayin Zayin. We'll finish with Ayin Zayin. The Mishnah Berurah, Ayin Zayin. Sivkan Ayin Zayin. V'yesh parasim Mishnah Devesiulu Deloyamin Royin Esol Yoyina. Period. Why? The Mishnah was very disturbed. Why was so machmer? V'yam gavim do. L'kama milcha sukkah. B'simen tofer shalaman aleph. Pasach ha-mechaber. B'pshitus. The Mechaber doesn't make an issue about this. B'sifeid ima sichachu mevulbol. The schach is confused. One bamboo pole is above the other. It's okay as long as the gaps are less three tefachim. Shiny hocha laws of mavui are more chamur, kara more chamur. The beinan sheyu ruuyin lekabel or riach. It has to be strong enough to support the weight of a brick. Uviyach lamal viyach lamata ein ruuyin lekabel or riach. Vahainu diafilu im gvos tefach echad mechaveroi. Gam came loyma hani. It's not going to work. Vafilu moimdos mshavim amish. Svilo deyazok deyashniyah hanal devin davka sheit smuchos echon lechaveroi v'lo yosef tevach. And this opinion also is machin that there should not be a gap. This is the same opinion above. That was, the Mishnah Berurah is telling us a beautiful chiddush. He's telling us something which is not obvious. To go the previous sif, we had two opinions. If the maximum gap between the two. He really brings us something that's really that would not be understood if not from telling us this. What did we learn in the previous sif? Previous sif, we learned that what is the gap between the two different poles? You can take two different bamboo sticks. The minimum shiva koyra is a tefach. You don't have a tefach. You don't have one board that's one tefach. You're going to improvise. How you improvise? You're going to take two sticks and you're going to separate them. It's good. Then the mechabes, there are two opinions. One opinion says, everyone agrees that the gap, the distance between one and two, from tip to tip, should be one tefach. That's a given, because you have to have the minimum shear. What is the maximum? So one opinion says, oh, you can go up to three. But if you go up to three, so what's in the middle? And the middle is a drop less than three. If you take your brick, if you take your, okay, that's so the Mechaber says, it's good. As long as it's less than three, we apply the principle of lavud. It's okay. The second opinion of the Mechaber says, no. Don't go more than a tefach. You may not have a gap in between one stick and the other stick less than one tefach. What is the reason between of this machlokes? So the Mishnah Berurah is unbelievable. He tells us this machlokes, if you're allowed to go up, you're allowed to have more than one tefach. More than one tefach, or must be within one tefach, is the same disagreement over here when it comes to royin. Do we say royin, yes or no? And the principle is, the opinion that smachmer, that we don't say royin, he also is the same one above that says it must be within one tefach. Why? Because it must practically be able to support a brick. And the brick is one and a half. Why? If it's going to be three tefachim a distance, three tefachim apart, in between you have more than two tefachim. The brick's going to go right through. If it's one above the other, you can't support a brick vertically. It has to only support horizontally. So these two halachas, these two se'ifim, the disagreement between the sif above and the sif here, are working together. Each one is lishitasayu. Each one lishitasayu. Each one of these two opinions. And what's the lamedness? The lamedness is it has to practically support a brick. And it's not like the laws of sukkah. Because the laws of sukkah don't have a requirement that the schach support the weight of a brick. And therefore, there everyone agrees we can say the principle of rayin. Okay, we'll stop here. We're up to Chaf Dalet.